You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for having us in your home today. My name's Shino. I'm one of the pastors here at Every Nation New York City. This is my lovely wife, Anne-Marie.
Kamusta, kapamilya?
Yes, today we're going to continue in our sermon series called Unstoppable. And we're going to talk about one thing in particular, unstoppable evangelism. Now, when you think about evangelism, it can get kind of weird or spooky. Maybe you heard somebody or seen somebody do some things that were kind of out of the ordinary. One of those is outdoor evangelism. Outdoor evangelism, maybe you've seen somebody stand on the campus of York University or even at Toronto University, and they're in that courtyard and they're preaching and they're yelling and they're screaming, telling people to turn or burn or Jesus is coming, you know, and that can be a little strange and weird. There's other types as well.
The other types are artistic, booklet, whether it's internet, relational, lifestyle, whatever style of evangelism you use, the key is to preach the gospel to people and to tell them about Jesus.
You know, I love the fact that when you talk about preaching the gospel, that you have to have a little bit of boldness and faith upon you. And so I'm going to set this up. We're going to be in Acts chapter 10, and our little backdrop of Acts is called the Acts of the Apostles, written by Luke. And what it is Jesus ascended to heaven before, and when he left, he gave some information. He told the disciples to do something. He told them that they needed to go preach the gospel in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the other ends of the earth. Now, these guys are a little scared, a little fearful. They all kind of hunkered down in Jerusalem, but God allowed a little bit of persecution to happen and caused them to scatter. And one of those people that scattered was Peter. And I'm going to talk a little bit about what Peter did, because Peter had an anointing on his life to do some great things. And so Anne-Marie is going to read Acts chapter 10, and we're going to give you a little context after she reads.
All right. So chapter 10, verse 29. That's why I came without any objection when I was sent for. So may I ask, why you sent for me? Cornelius replied, 4 days ago at this hour, at 3 p.m, I was praying in my house. Just then, a man in dazzling clothing stood before me and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your acts of charity have been remembered in God's sight. Therefore, send someone to Joppa and invite Simon here, who is also named Peter. He is lodging in Simon the tanner's house by the sea. So I immediately sent for you, and it was good of you to come. So now we are all in the presence of God to hear everything you have been commanded by the Lord. Peter began to speak. Now I truly understand that God doesn't show favoritism, but in every nation, the person who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. He sent the message to the Israelites, proclaiming the good news of peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. So now we're going to skim down here to verse 44, and we're going to see the power of evangelism. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came down on all those who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in other tongues and declaring the greatness of God. Then Peter responded, can anyone withhold water and prevent these people from being baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? He commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stay for a few days.
Thank you so much for reading that, honey.
You're welcome.
I'm going to jump into this text and break it down a little bit stronger, and I'm going to give you a few points. So here we are. Peter is now in Cornelius' house. He didn't understand why God had sent him. But a couple of days later, Peter was on his roof, minding his own business, praying as Jewish custom had him to do. He was sitting on his roof, just sitting there and praying and worshiping God. And all of a sudden, he got this vision. God was dealing with something in his soul, saying that it's time for you to not just focus on the Jewish people, but it's time for you to cross and step out and minister to those Gentiles. And so here it was. Peter gets brought in by Cornelius's men. Now, the significance about Cornelius was a Gentile. He'd be someone like you or like someone like me. someone that didn't grow up in the Jewish culture, was not born Jewish. And so here it is. Now, Peter is afraid. And why is Peter afraid? Is because it was against Jewish customs to connect or to dialogue with people that were unclean. And when I say unclean, I'm talking about the Gentiles, people that didn't look like, talk like, or have the ethnic background that Peter had. It was forbidden to the point where they even called Gentiles dogs. But here he is in this man's house. Why? Because the Holy Spirit led him there. And the beauty of it is that as he was being led there, he was in prayer. And Cornelius at the time was in prayer. See, Cornelius was a man that feared God, but he didn't know God. And there's a difference. He was also doing good deeds. He was giving alms and blessing the poor. And God met him right where he needed to be met because he wanted him to have an encounter with his son, Jesus Christ. He didn't want him to have him just a little way in the door. He wanted him all the way in the door. My first point is this, is that evangelism starts in prayer. See, there are people right now in the greater Toronto area crying out to the Lord Jesus Christ for help. And in you behind that screen, maybe you are also one that is born again. You know the Lord and you're asking God to use you. So one is praying for help and the other one is praying to be used. And guess what? God is going to raise both of you up to meet in the middle. One to tell a person about Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the only one who can set people free. The only one who can bring people to life from the past and bring them into a glorious present. Jesus. And here's Peter in Cornelius's home. And this was a significant moment because Peter was very stubborn. He was the one that told Jesus, no, you're not going to wash my feet. He was the one that told Jesus that he couldn't go to the cross. He was the one that got in the way of so many things. But for the first time, revelation finally came to him that Jesus was saying, do as I have done. Cross-cultural, go into somebody else's backyard and minister the love of Jesus Christ. But it always starts in prayer. It says this in Luke 6, 12 through 13. One day, soon afterward, Jesus went up on a mountain to pray, and he prayed to God all night. And at daybreak, he called together all his disciples and chose 12 of them to be the apostles. The reason it was significant, Jesus being a model, he prayed. Before Jesus did anything, before he began to go out and reach people, he was in prayer. Prayer is so important. Prayer is so powerful. It's important that we pray. Why? Because when we pray the word of God, God will answer it. The Bible says this in John 16:8, that he convicts men and women of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. You know, in the middle of this pandemic, people are isolated. They're broken. They're hurting. They're fearful. And you know, the only thing that can bring them clarity, bring them peace, bring them hope is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And so here Peter is in Cornelius's home. And it all started with prayer. It all started with prayer. The Bible says this in James chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. When you and I are praying, when we're calling on the name of Jesus on behalf of our aunt, our uncle, our cousin, our nephew, our neighbor, whoever it may be, God will answer. He will answer. And so here these two are praying. One crying out for help and the other one crying out to be used. And God uses them and meets them in the middle. Cornelius is standing in his house with a Gentile. And it's so important for you and I to understand is that no man, no woman, no child is off limits when it comes to Jesus, because we're all made in his image. And just like Peter, sometimes you and I can get a little fearful. Well, you know, I can't go over there because somebody may think this way. Or if I go over there and speak, they may assume that this, that, and the other about me. But, you know, God doesn't really care about how we feel. All God cares about is, will we go and do? Will you and I go and do what God is speaking to you to go and do? See, we can't pray and then not go and do. We have to do both. We got to pray. And then when God sends us, we got to go in faith and trust that he'll be with us. The second thing is you have to be ready. You have to be ready because you never know when God is going to answer. Peter was sitting on a roof, minding his business. And all of a sudden, these men showed up. Are you ready? Will you be ready when God shows up and taps you on the shoulder and says, it's time to go? Your friend is ready. That one that you've been walking with, that one that you've been going to connect group with, that one that you've been going to your Bible study with, small group with, whatever you call it. But you know what? That moment when you're bringing that man or that woman and God is opening up their heart and he's opened up their mind to receive the word of God. Will you be ready? You know, right now, as you're there and you've been praying and saying, Lord, I just want you to do something on my campus. I want you to do something on my job. I want you to do something in my neighborhood. And you know, God is saying, I'm going to use you to do that something. But will you be ready? The Bible says this in Matthew 9, 37 through 38. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. You know, there's a lot of people out there ducking and afraid. And, you know, I don't know if I can speak the word or if I'm able to communicate. But you know what? It's time for you and I to rise up and to be the man or woman of God that you've been created to be and be that worker for Jesus Christ and go into that harvest field and preach the gospel with boldness. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest field. You know, I know that Pastor Bert and the team are praying, God, stir our church. Stir our people for this nation. Stir our people for the people in Toronto, the greater area. Stir them up and that they may go in power and be used by God to share the good news. Stir them up. You have to be ready. The Bible says to preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. You know, it says to preach the word. You know, I remember a long time ago, back in 1998, maybe it was 99, I played for a small team there in Ontario called the Hamilton Ticats. And, you know, I know God is real because today I'm doing what Peter did. I'm cross-cultural ministering because what business does a Hamilton Ticat have ministering to somebody from Toronto? It's a miracle. But you know what? God is in the business of doing miracles. And you know, when I was on that football team and I won a Grey Cup, here's my ring. I, you know, don't wear it a lot. The only time I wear it is when I'm back in Canada. You know, I like to show people back in this time we won the Grey Cup. I think there's a picture that may be on the screen when I played there. But I remember being on that team and being sent from Nashville and God opened the door for me to play there. And I remember sitting in my locker and I'm like, God, I want to be used. If I'm going to be here in Hamilton, Ontario, I want you to use me. And I began to just pray and ask God for my teammates. God, give me a church, because at the time we didn't have an Every Nation church in the area. And I was just, Lord, just use me. And I'm in my locker and all of a sudden I open up the newspaper and there's a church, there's a pastor in this newspaper. And I just picked up the phone and called him. I said, look, you don't know me, but man, I love Jesus and I want God to use me in this city. And I heard that you have a great church and I'm coming and I want you to use me however you want to use me. And I remember getting at that church and just ministering in that youth group and going out and being used by God in the community, you know, using my platform. And that's another thing I want to share is that God has a platform that you need to use in order to minister the word of God. And so here I got my jersey on and I'm just telling people about Jesus. And people are coming to the Lord, not because I played football, but because of the spirit of the evangelist that was in me to tell people about Jesus. See, my heart was breaking for the Ontario area. My heart was breaking for the city of Hamilton. And I was crying out to God, Lord, use me. Use me. You have to preach the word. My prayer for you also today is that God would break your heart for what breaks his. What breaks God's heart and what he longs for is for his creation to come back to him. Will you allow God to come inside of you in a fresh new way and use you to preach the word? No more excuses. Be ready. Be ready. The next thing is this. Number three is you have to preach the gospel. See, the gospel is powerful. And he said this in Mark 16, 15. He said, go to in all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. All means all. That means Africans, Asians, Latin American, Europeans, and these people from the Middle East. Preach the word of God to people from the Caribbean. Man, nobody is off limits. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9 that God is not slack concerning any, but he's patient. And he wants all men and women to come to Jesus. He wants them to repent, to turn away, and to put their hope and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. As we preach the gospel, we also going to need something called power. I'm here to tell you today, the only thing that the devil respects is power. He doesn't worry about what's in our bank account. He doesn't care about a suit that we wear. He doesn't care about any of that. But what he is afraid of is he's afraid of power. The Bible says this in Acts 1:8. But you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even the utter remote parts of the earth. I read that scripture earlier. See, before the disciples could go out, they had to be endued with power. And see, the disciples quibbled. They were, well, what about this Jesus? And what about that Jesus? And Jesus rebuking them quietly. He just said, look, stop worrying about the seasons. Stop worrying about COVID. Stop worrying about this. Stop worrying about that. You know what you need to worry about is getting some power on your life so that you can go be a witness. Next week, next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, and Pastor Bert is going to bring a word about Pentecost and the significance of it. But when on the day of Pentecost, man, the power of God was poured out upon these men, fearful, scared, shaken, hiding. You know what? God did something in them, stirred them up, and called them to go preach the word of God to all creation. And that's what you need, is you need power on your life. You need power on your life. See, Peter, as he was preaching the word of God in that house, and the significance of it was that Cornelius, it wasn't just Cornelius, but Cornelius brought his entire family. He brought his friends, and he brought everybody in on this, because you know why? God wants to bless not just one, but he's after entire families this season. He's after entire campuses this season. He's after entire communities this season, athletic teams. It doesn't matter. It's all about the whole. It's not the ones and twos anymore. I believe that God wants to bring revival to the greater Toronto area. But the question is will you be ready? Will you be ready? And so the power of God was poured out. People being born again, speaking in tongues. The power of God hits the place. Peter's amazed. Wow, God, this is amazing. How in the world is this happening? You know what? I thought it was just for us. But Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, is like, no, I said all. All. And see, it didn't stop there, man. He said, let's run the bathwater and let's go ahead and baptize him. And this shook Peter to the core. And he stayed a little while, teaching him a little bit more about the faith. There's power in the preached word of God. There's power and anointing in the preached word of God. But you have to be ready and you have to be available. My last point is this, is that you have to testify. You have to testify. And what do I mean by testify? You have to tell people what God has done. You have to tell people what God has done. Peter had to go back to Jerusalem and he had to tell the others, and they were rebuking him. How dare you go and you minister to someone that don't look like us, that doesn't talk like us? You know, that was what people will do. That's the scheme of the enemy, to try to keep you from opening up your mouth and speaking the word of God because of what somebody else is going to say. But Peter, I said, wait a minute. When I preached the word, when I told them about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God fell on them just like he fell on us. And they began to speak in tongues. The power of God hit the place. And these men were amazed. And they began to realize that this gospel is not just for them, but it's for the world. And you know, I'm going to challenge you right now. Because the Bible says this in Revelations 12:11, it says that they overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. By the blood of the Lamb. If the blood of the Lamb has cleansed you, if Jesus has cleansed you from all sin, and that you are a man or a woman of God, born again, I charge you and I challenge you to testify of the goodness of God in your life. And here's why, because right now, there are people that are hurting, there are people that are broken, there are people that are going through a dark time. And the hope of the world is Jesus Christ. And you have the answer. Tell them about sin and salvation. Tell them about lordship and repentance. Tell them the significance of being water baptized and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Tell them the significance about being planted firmly in the house of God that they can flourish. Tell them about the destiny and the purpose that God has for them in their life. Testify. Right now, I just want to pray and minister to those on the other side of the camera. You've been in your homes. And yes, here in New York, we've been in our homes and in our apartments. We've been going through it. But you know, as the city is starting to awaken, as they're starting to lift this ban off of us, as we're able to get out and about, you better believe that our mouths are wide open telling people about Jesus, because they need help. They need to know that there's something greater, something better. Life is not just this, but God has a great destiny, a great purpose, a great birthright for them. Toronto, God needs you. Church, God needs you. He has need of your gifts and your talents. And I know that God can use you just like he used me when I went up there. To this day, I have teammates that gave their life to Jesus that'll call and say, man, I remember on that team, you were the real deal. You were preaching. You had no fear. You were telling us about the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you know what? To this day, they're serving God. They're serving God. My heart breaks for the nation of Canada. And I want to pray a prayer of faith for y'all right now. I want to believe, God, that Toronto will see the greatest, greatest harvest that it's seen in years. Yes, I know revival's broken out, but why not Every Nation, Greater Toronto Church? Why not you? Why not the Every Nation Church in Toronto bringing revival, people getting saved and baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, doing great signs and wonders? Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, I'm asking you that you'd move in power, move in might, move in authority over this church. God, I pray that through Pastor Bert and Sheila and the team, great signs and wonders would come, that men, women, and children be born again. God, give them the campus, give them their communities, give them the city. God, I even pray right now for an apostolic anointing to come upon that church. Father, I pray right now that this church would not just be the church, but it'd be a sending church. It'd be a church that plants churches. Father, I pray right now, give them the territory of the East. Give them Ottawa. Give them Nova Scotia. Give them, Lord God, Montreal. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that revival would come. Lord, I pray that it would spill over into Edmonton, into Saskatchewan. Lord, let it go, Father, into Calgary. Yes, we have a church. Yes, into Vancouver. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that revival would come to Canada, Lord. I pray through this church, signs and wonders, power of God come. Use these men and women. Lord, break off fear, break off doubt, break off unbelief. Lord, stir them up, God, to be used by you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you. If you can do it through a man like Peter, you can do it for our people. in our church in Toronto. Power of God. Be ready. I believe that the greatest days are ahead for our church in Toronto. And I stand with Pastor Bert, Sheila, all the way here from New York City. I stand with that church. I've known Pastor Bert for almost 20 years. He is a man of God. And I ask you as a church to rally around the vision of the house this season and let God use you in mighty ways. Be blessed, have a great day, and may God's face shine upon you. Blessings.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.